It's a privilege to be here and to minister with you. It's not really my first time here at Hope Center. I come here very often, but the first time to come here on a Sunday morning. So it's been a long time coming. So I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for everyone. You looked after us from Thursday so well. The barbecue last night, the auction, the concerts. What can we say? We are coming back. You know, that's the problem when you look after us so well. We always tend to return. So there's a saying in Uganda that Idi Amin came to Britain and they accorded him really, really good service. They looked after him and he said to the Queen, you've really fed us so well, we are all fed up. And then he said, I want you to come back to Uganda. I want you to visit Uganda that I may revenge. So that's what I promise you. So come to Uganda, we may revenge by the grace of God. Yeah, I don't want to keep you too long. We have too much on and a lot to do. But I want to bring you a simple message. And I think I have seen the Hope Center, the word hope, too long. That when I was trying to listen to God, the only message I could choose to listen to was hope. So that's what I want to do. It's a very simple message of encouragement. I'm actually putting two messages together by just chopping the introductions of both messages, and then I'll be out of your way by the grace of God. Amen? Thank you so much. I can't stop to say thank you to CWM and Sue Sinclair and the team and everyone who is helping. We really appreciate you so much. God bless you so much. Our next conference in Uganda, Pastor John is the main dancer. It can't be a good conference in Africa if you don't dance. So, you know, turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Chapter 1. I can't read the whole chapter, it will be too long, but I can paraphrase it for you because I believe you've read it so much. This is my favorite book in the Bible, and I have another 65 favorite books. So it says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem, Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name is Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and another Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Let's keep go down to verse 21. This is Naomi really making a statement. Went back in Bethlehem, Judah. I went out full, but I came back empty. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we bless you this morning, and we ask for your grace and your favor in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I know probably I love to share from the book of Ruth. If you heard me, I just shared out of this book 100 times. Probably everything I want to find in the Bible, I can find it in the book of Ruth. That's how amazing it is. And I always encourage people, if you struggle with reading the Bible, there are some books to start with. And the book of Ruth is one of the easiest books to read. Because it's actually written like a movie, like it's a drama. The way the story begins and unfolds, when you look at the main characters, it's really amazing. And when you look in the book of Ruth, you have three main characters. You have Boaz, you have Ruth, and you have Naomi. And there are any and others who support them, like Orpah and Cleon and Elimelech, whose name is just mentioned, and nothing else he does in the whole episode. But when you look at those three main characters, they also teach us something. For me, I find the book of Ruth is a book of hope. It's a book that tells you, no matter how much you go through, but you can bounce back. It's a book of human resilience. It shows you how much a human being can suffer. But by the grace of God, they can always bounce back. And for us in KCC, and even when we go to the village, we've seen that. People who are condemned to live a completely a disastrous life. But by the grace of God, God picks them up and starts rebuilding their life bit by bit. And as years goes by, you cannot recognize them. They are two different people. You know, there are some circumstances in our lives that we don't deny, but we can no longer relate to them because God has changed that. And many times when you tell people, you know, yes, that was my past, but I no longer relate to it, they think you're in denial. But God can do things in your life to an extent that certain things that happened to you, certain traumatic situations that happened into your life, you no longer relate to them. You know them, they happened, but they have no power over your life. And that's what Jesus did. He came and we're all dead in our own sins. We're all written. We had all fallen away from the glory of God. But he redeemed us and called us his own. Yes, we were sinners. Yes, we committed things. Yes, we deserved to die. But we know when we see ourselves through the cross, we can see those situations, but we no longer relate to them. We relate to the righteousness God has given us, to the grace God has shed before us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us, and we know that we are new creatures. When a man, when a woman is in Christ Jesus, is a new creation. Behold, all the old has passed away. That is the grace of God. That is the power of the cross. That is what the nails that went through his hands did for you and me. That's the grace of God. So when you look, it's a book of human resilience. You know, people go through things. It doesn't matter where you are born. You probably are not born in northern Uganda where there was a 21-year war. But we know that all of us, no matter how good the economy is, we go through circumstances that affect our lives. And when you look at that, also what you look at, when you look at Boaz, Boaz is a type of Christ. The Bible in the book of Ruth calls him a redeemer. And we know that Jesus is our redeemer. You know, he reminds us that we have a redeemer. But also the Bible describes him as probably the richest man in the community. And the Bible says, you know, the world and the fullness thereof belongs to our God. So God has everything you've ever needed. God can give you anything you ever needed. So Boaz is a type of Christ. But also the Bible portrays him as a man of integrity. And the Bible says in Hebrews, our God, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means his character is integral. It is in one piece. He does not say one thing and then changes it. And that reminds me that the promises of God he gave upon my life, the words he spoken about your life, he is faithful enough to bring them to pass. Amen. And that's why he went on the tree. You know, many people wonder, why did Jesus die on the tree? The reason Jesus died on that tree is because he promised you. He said, I'll redeem them. I'll come down and rescue them. You know, and he had to do it, whatever the cost. That's why he allowed himself to be called an imposter, to be called a liar, because he was saying, no matter what the cost is, I will make sure I fulfill my word I spoke spoke over your life. He made sure he fulfills the words he spoke over you even before you were formed in your mother's womb. That's how faithful my God is. I don't know how faithful your God is, but mine is a faithful God. Amen? Come on, say amen to me. I'm an African preacher. Amen? In Africa, there, when you are preaching good, you know you are doing a good job. If you're not doing a good job, you still know. We have some fiery old Pentecostal ladies at the back. As you preach, they say, "Preach it, brother. Hallelujah. That is my word." And if you're not doing a good job, you still know. They say, "Oh, help him, Jesus." Amen. Praise the Lord. I love you to bits. You know. So, that's Boaz. He's a redeemer. Christ redeemed you. Christ redeemed you and me and set us free. You know. And when you look at Naomi, Naomi is a type of Israel. And Naomi gives us the bigger picture. Because many times when we come to church, we concentrate on me, 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 give me, give me. But actually, there is a big picture. Jesus came to redeem you, but also to redeem all the lost sheep of Israel. You and me, anybody who is counted as part of the commonwealth of Israel, any person who is called a son of Abraham, God, Jesus came to redeem them. So Naomi is a type of Israel. How many times did that Hebrew nation go away from God, but by the grace of God, God used to bring them back? And that gives me hope for my nation, gives me hope for cities, for communities, that no matter how broken they are, no matter how fallen they are, God can bring them back to himself. It gives me hope even for the UK, for Uganda. I know I'm not ministering in a hopeless situation. If God could redeem Israel, who used to fall away almost annually, they were falling away from God. They had this character, this passion to upset God all the time. When you look at the Bible, it's like Israel had set itself to upset God. When you look at the kings of Israel, it's like they were anointed to always upset God, to go against God, but always God found a way to bring them back to himself. That is the grace of God, and that's the love of God for our nation, for our communities, and for our families. I come from a family which was predominantly Muslim. My grandmother, my father's mother, was the first Christian in my family. My grandmother was Muslim, and I was the first person to become born again. Now I have to tell you, the entire clan, I don't know how many members, probably 400, 500, but since I became to Christ, over 200 have come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. So in my family, I consider myself the firstborn of many brothers. So when you are the only Christian in your family, I consider you as the firstborn of many brothers. You are the firstborn there, but you are not the lastborn. Many of them will be born again by the grace of God. Some of them you may never see even them born again, but even after you're gone, God can bring them to the cross. That's the hope we have in Jesus. So Naomi is a type of Israel. But also Naomi makes a statement in verse 21. For us who live in the Western world, we need to look at it. Because we love to complain. We love to whine. Nothing is good. If we don't complain anything, you complain about the weather. You know, we did something, you know. Some people don't have testimonies. The only thing they have are the monies. You know, they just have part of it. You know, and God has been good to us here in Britain, guys. If nobody has ever said that in England, God is good to England. God is good to this country. God is good to your life, you know. And now in verse 21 makes a statement. She says, "I went out full, but I came back empty." What is happening here? She eventually, after 10 years of wandering away from God, from the nation of her calling, from a place where she's supposed to be, because she assumed there's a famine which is going to kill her and her family. But after 10 years, she discovers she was more blessed in the land of famine than in the land of plenty. You know, and many times we need to realize what we think is the land of famine, what we think is the land of pain, what we think is the land of trouble, actually probably it's better than many other places. And we need to stand in the middle of our trouble. We need to stand in the middle of our pain, our pain, and say, yes, Lord, I feel the pain. Yes, Lord, I don't like this situation, but I want to say one thing. You are still my God. I'll praise you with my whole heart. That's what David did in Psalms 138. He woke up one morning and said, I'll praise you with my whole heart. Before all the gods, I'll praise you. I'll praise you for your loving kindness. What does loving kindness mean? It means you love me no matter what. No matter what's going on in my life. You love me when I'm happy. You love me when I'm smiling. You love me when I'm crying. You love me when I'm alone. You love me when I'm with my friends. You love me no matter what. In this world today, you love me because I like you. You love me because I come to you. You love me because our children went to the same school. You love me because we come to the same community. But God is not like that. He loves you no matter what. That is the grace of God. So Naomi discovers she went out to Moab with a husband. She went up to Moab with the two sons. And after 10 years, she comes back. She doesn't have any one of those. And she says, wait a moment. I was more blessed in the land of famine than in the land of plenty. And that's what I tell many people when they're mourning about Britain. It doesn't get into revival. I say, wait a moment. There are other countries which are worse than this. I travel over Europe, and the spiritual atmosphere in some of these European countries, I can't even stand it for 3 days. I get there and I want to jump out. That's the truth. So, it's until you go that you realize, oh my wonder, oh my God. There's a city I went to, and within 24 hours, I called my wife. I said, I'm coming back home. I cannot stand the spiritual atmosphere of this city. I changed my ticket and left because spiritually, I didn't feel I had the capacity to combat the darkness there. I just didn't feel I had the capacity to deal with something at that level. So I just said, I am going home. This is not my battle. I need to go home. Naomi reminds us that God can redeem our countries, that God can change situations. But then we come to Ruth. Ruth is a type of the church. Ruth is a representation of you and me. She's a Moabitess. You know how the Moabitess came to be. They came from the highest level of sexual immorality. The daughters of Lot raped their father, and one of the nations that came out are the Moabites. And so in Israel, you were not supposed to marry a Moabite until their family has lived in Israel to the 10th generation. And the intention was simple, to make sure that that cursed blood is all been washed out, because they were considered cursed, they were considered rejected, they were considered not part of the real people. So here Naomi goes to the land of Moab, and her sons and daughter and her sons marry these two women. And when they marry them, you know, Ruth comes with her. And Ruth was never supposed to be part of the commonwealth of Israel, as the Bible tells us in Ephesians, you know. She was never supposed to be part of Israel. But God brings her to Israel, and does not only bring her to Israel, but he makes sure she's part of the bloodline of Jesus, you know. And that is the grace of God. He puts you where you are not qualified to be. Let me tell you something. You know, I employ people, but I'm very scared to put unqualified people in positions. But God is not like that. He does not care how qualified you are. He's not afraid of your lack of qualifications. He can put you where you are not supposed to be and make you the best you've ever thought you could be. That is my God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So she was not qualified. She was not supposed to be there. The culture was against her. Sin was against her. Blood was against her. She had nothing. But God brings her to Israel, and she becomes part of the commonwealth of Israel. And not only that, you cannot come to Jesus without going through Ruth. Amen. She's stuck in the middle. Amen. She's a great, great grandmother of Jesus, because Jesus is a son of Judah. Amen. I know. And David, you know, comes from the tribe of Judah. Amen. And David is, you know, I think David's father, Jesse, comes from Obed. I think Ruth gave birth to Obed. So that's what God does in our lives. He brings us to places we never thought we could be. And you should never lose hope. We need to have hope, because when you lose hope, you've lost it. We hope in Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's what God does. But also what you learn out of this book that is very simple. It's like it teaches you that not everything we go through is intended to kill us. Today, we have the new age kind of approach. I must be happy. Yeah. Yes, we will be happy. But sometimes you wonder, they really mean it? You know, everything, we must see happiness in it. You are not supposed to suffer. You are not supposed to face anything. But we know it. Jesus said, tribulations will come, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's the reality. You know, so the tribulations come to all of us. We don't plan for them. We don't wait for them. We don't want them, but they show up. But Jesus said, they will come. But there will be light at the end of the tunnel. Tribulations will come, but be of good cheer, have overcome the world. Jesus didn't promise us a life on the carpet, but he promised us that at the end of everything, he will give us the victory. And many times we face tribulations. We cannot run away from it. And all we wait for is the victory God can give us. You know, we go to turn what the devil meant for evil to turn it for good. You know, that's what Joseph waited for. He knew, I have got into this. I've been sold by my own family. I've been put in prison for crimes I have never committed. My name has been slandered. I've been put in the pit as a young boy. Imagine the trauma of being dropped in a dark pit by your own brothers. You trusted, you had taken food for to feed them. Joseph had taken food to feed his brothers, and the same people put him in the pit. You know, the trauma he had. But then at the end of it, he says, what the devil meant for evil, my God used it for good. You know, at the end of the day, God takes the glory. Give God the glory for me in Jesus' name. Yeah, so we worry about, yes, no one wants to suffer. We don't want that. We don't want that to happen. But what Ruth teaches us, that actually not everything we suffer leads us to death. Because that's what the devil tells you. Oh, you've lost your child, you've lost your husband, you've lost your wife, then that's the end of you. You know, he capitalizes on your weaknesses. He capitalizes on your pain and uses it for his own good. You know, when you look at these three women, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth, apart from simple friendship, the only thing they had in common was pain. You know, Naomi lost her husband, Ruth loses her husband, and Orpah loses her husband. Sometimes what keeps us together is our pain. And the devil tells you that that's not, but actually the truth is, sometimes what keeps us together is our pain. Even sometimes in simple things like mission, like serving the Lord, I think for me what has kept me together and brought me here is the burden I have for the UK and Sue Sinclair has for the UK. So it's our pain to see the nation changed that has kept us together. But sometimes a different pain, it's another level of pain, it's deeper, it's greater, it's more scorching. These three women, the only thing that kept them together was pain. They all lost their husbands. They literally had nothing in common. She was a Jew. She was older, mother-in-law, a lot of issues there, but they stayed together. And I can imagine them at night in Africa, you know, we light fires on outside, not inside our houses. You know, that's the difference. We don't go on burning our houses every day, you know. So we light it outside. And that's where our grandfathers, our fathers tell us stories, you know, wisdom. And we sit there. I can imagine these ladies on the fire. And the only story they can bring out, your husband died in summer, mine in winter. And those kind of stories. Trying to make fake, an ugly story, beautiful. And there are many of us who are like that. You know, everyone, your peers, your friends, they're talking about how their husbands are running on with the Lord, their children are running on with the Lord, they're doing great. You have the opposite story. You don't know even where to start, you know. They just talk about how great their kids love the Lord. They're talking about how wonderful this is. And you don't have that story. You don't have it. And you're trying to make an ugly story look beautiful. So their pain kept them together. But also when you look at that, let me tell you something. There are people you meet in your life. And when you see them, when you meet them, you can journey with them for days, for months, for weeks, and they reach a period and they walk away. In today's world, we demonize them because you walked away, because you went, then you are evil. But let me tell you something. When someone comes into your life and they choose to go, this is what it means. It means their contribution to your story is over. But the good news is God is still writing your story. People come, like people want to come through, who go through divorce. You know, there are not many people who choose that situation. But someone wakes up and chooses to walk out on you. You do everything possible, and they walk out on you. And what the devil comes and tells you, your life is gone now. You'll never be the same woman again. You'll never be the same man again. Yes, they walked out of your story. It's not something you want. It's painful. But God is still writing your story. They wrote their chapter and finished and walked away. But God is still writing your story, and your story is not written black and white, it's written in colorful, glossy paper. That's what God is doing with your story. Come on, give him the glory. That's what God is doing. And this one, people walking out on you, it's at all levels. It's on a family level, it's on a ministry level. When you're a church leader, like a Pastor John, like me, you get used to people walking away. You know, it happens at all levels. People reach a stage and go. And many times why you don't want them to go away, don't expect them. You feel like a quarter of you is being cut away. But one thing you have to remember, God is still writing your story, even in the middle of that pain. God is still, come on, do me a favor, slap a person on the back, let them feel the pain, and let them know God is still writing your story. Come on, when I'm gone, life will be back to normal. Thank you, thank you, thank you. No grudges, no revenge. Thank you, thank you. Amen. You know, I'm sorry to use this word for you guys, but sometimes I feel like people in this country, they need a kick in the pants, you know. Just wake up. God is good. Amen. God is lovely. God is amazing. Wake up, rejoice. God is good. Amen. You can choose what you want to believe, but the truth remains the truth. God is good. Amen. So, Anna, so what happens here? Orpah comes to her mother-in-law and cries, Ruth and Orpah, they cry and say, we want to go with you. She said, do not come with me. You know, and Orpah kisses her and goes back. You don't see Naomi demonizing Orpah. And we don't know whether she even became a great evangelist there. You don't see that. She just moved on. She doesn't sit there demonizing her. Ruth came with me, but your sister was evil, blah, blah, blah. Didn't know the call of God. She was not judgmental. She believed in the purposes of God. She believed in the wisdom of God. She trusted in the choices of God. And no, Orpah stayed behind, you know, Anna. But also what I like about Naomi here, when they all came to her and cried out, take us with you, she said no, because this was a woman who was not influenced by public opinion. You don't have to come with me for me to go, you know. She just said, you stay, but I am going. You know, you stay, I am going back to Israel. And in today's world, political correctness is very important. Public opinion is very important. But some of the things God wants to do in your life, public opinion should matter less. Amen. When you know and you know this is the will of God, this is the purpose of God, you've sought God, you've sought wisdom from people you trust, and you're convinced it's God, move on. Amen. God do what God has called you to do. And the good news is God has already taken care of your next mistake. Amen. That's the strange news. He knows what is going to happen before it happens. Amen. and he's already provided the blood of Jesus and the cross. Yeah. It's there for you. So, what Naomi does, she didn't care about them wishing her to leave. She said, I am going. Stay home. I wish you well. Go find husbands. But then, there are some people you meet, and you know that our prophetic destiny, our call is mapped together. When Naomi had a different, Ruth had a different view of Naomi. She looked at this woman. You are my mother-in-law. You're older. You are a Jewish woman. Little is in common. But when I look deep inside, our prophetic destiny is mapped together. You know, it's tied together. You know, then he said, you know, I will go with you. Your people be my people. Where you die, I'll die. So there are people you meet, and you know that our prophetic destiny is mapped together. When you meet them, never let them go. Amen. Do your best, because your breakthrough has a bearing on the relationship. As you stay connected, there's a way they complement your call, they complement your anointing, they help you out in life. And these people are not the usual people you're used to. They could be from a different culture, from a different gender, but those kind of people, when you meet them, just know that a prophetic destiny is mapped together. So, Ruth agrees to go with her mother-in-law. And when Ruth agrees to go with her mother-in-law, for me, what amazes me here, what really happened? After 10 years, this woman wakes up and there is no great preparation and says, that's Naomi, says, I am going back to Israel. What had happened? You know, Naomi had realized that the cloud of God's presence or provision, you call it what you want, has shifted. There is a time in your life you have to realize that the cloud of God's presence, the cloud of God's provision has shifted. You know, and some of us, God is going this side, we're going the other side. And God is saying, wait, stop. I'm saying, Lord, I'll see you late. I'm late for the train. You know, she knew that it's, you know, there are days you wake up and you know there is a shift in the heavenly places. Something has changed in my life. I cannot clearly crystallize it. I cannot put it in words, but I know something is moving and I have to move with God. Let me tell you something. You know, every one of us knows how God works, but let me tell you the smallest I know. Rarely God does profound things in our lives without first moving us. Amen? You know, he moves you somehow. He moves you from your seat and puts you in the next seat. Because you're so much used to those circumstances, you cannot even hear his voice. He has to shake you up a little bit. It doesn't have to be painful all the time. Sometimes not even a painful move. Eh? You move the house, and now you realize, oh my word. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. You know, it's not necessary. When you talk about shaking, people's minds only go to the negative. Yes, sometimes God has to shake you and bash you around and shake you until you wake up and say, oh, Lord. So he does that sometimes. But sometimes he can just shift you and you find yourself, your position has changed. You are in a different atmosphere. And there the wavelengths are more clearer. You can hear him. So Naomi just woke up anew. Things are shifting in the heavenly realm. I am going back to Israel. No, there was nothing there because, you know, she had to move by faith. Another thing I have to tell you, the little I know about God, rarely does God do profound things without first exciting your faith. Amen. He first touches your faith because faith and prayer are places of partnership. When you believe God or when you pray with God, it means, Lord, I am willing to partner with you. When you don't believe God, you just say, I am not willing and I'm not ready to partner with you. So a place of faith is a place of partnership with God. You say, Lord, I'm not 100% sure where this is going to end, but I trust in your wisdom. I trust in your word. I trust in your goodness. So she put herself in that place of faith, of partnership. She ends up back in Israel with Ruth. And as I said in 21, women see her and they say, oh my goodness, is this Naomi? She says, but the Bible doesn't say, the Bible says the women exclaimed, is this Naomi? For me, it sounds like it was excitement to see her. But many times we see ourselves through the eyes of the circumstances we've gone through. So she was quick to label herself Mara, bitterness. But probably the women were just excited to see her because she was a very powerful woman in the community. You know, she was an amazing woman in the community. But when they came to her, the first thing she said, do not call me Naomi. I am Mara because the Lord has afflicted me. Perhaps even that's a wrong statement. Did really the Lord afflict her? You know how many times we say the Lord doesn't love me? The Lord doesn't care about me? You know, and just you wonder, is that true? Is that correct? So you wonder, is this statement correct? Did really the Lord afflict you? Or because of your insecurity, because of your fears, you moved away from the presence of God. But still, graciously, God kept you and gave you the wisdom to bring you back. And now you are here. Even when you are back here with a woman you don't know, your daughter-in-law, he's going to use your daughter-in-law to bring a great bloodline through you. You know, she said, I am Mara. How many times have we called ourselves names, you know, that people give us? Let me tell you something that it's simple, buddy. I think I have like nine titles. You know, people call me pastor, bishop, this and that. And this is, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing wrong. Whatever you call me, I will say yes, you know. But people don't realize that none of those titles I've ever called myself one. You know, don't realize that I've never called myself, even though I've never called myself pastor. You know, they don't realize that I've never really fronted myself. This is my title. The world wants to give us labels. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes those labels are not helpful. You know, so for me, these labels work for me. Amen. They work for me. But some of us, the labels we've got, they don't work for us. They're not helpful. And some of them, we give ourselves those labels, the world giving us those labels through our minds, because the world has so much penetrated our minds that even when we think about ourselves, we see ourselves as the world wants to see us. Don't call me Naomi, because Naomi means pleasant. Call me Mara, because the Lord has afflicted me. But I don't, thank God they didn't call her Mara. They kept calling her Naomi, because the Bible keeps mentioning her as Naomi. And that's what God wants you to know. You know, those titles, those labels you've given yourselves, that is not you. Who you are is what God has called you to be. The true identity is what God says you are. Your true identity is through the cross. Whatever Jesus didn't give you through the cross, then it's not you. Whatever he gave you, that's who you are. And I pray that you'll be able to see yourselves, all of us, to see ourselves through the eyes of the cross, through that man who was prostrated on that tree and died for you and me and went to hell and say to the devil, I gave you the keys of life and death. Now give them back to me. You know, when he died and said it's finished, you know what it means? That's a merchant word. Egyptians used to put on the invoices. When you paid the price in full, they used to stamp the invoice, it is finished. So when Jesus stretched his hands on the cross and said, it's finished, he was saying to me, the price has been paid in full. Amen? That's what happened. And that's what we have in Christ Jesus. I promise you two sermons, and I've only done one. And I have to stop. Amen. Because God finishes on time in Liverpool. Amen. And I must stay in tune with God. Come on, give God the glory. But that's my trick too. That's my trick. When I come to places, I promise them two sermons. I do one, then they invite me back. So I'm coming back, Pastor John, to do the other part. It's powerful. It's amazing. It's better than this one. Trust me, the church will like it, Pastor. And I charge per minute. Amen. So, you know, anyway, I'm lost now. I must stop. So, but you got what I wanted to say to you. The grace of God. Amen. The grace of God. One thing I want you to know, you are loved no matter what. And you're going to do for me the last slap for me. Slap the person and tell them, you are loved no matter what. You're loved by God. You are treasured by God. You are appreciated by God. God cares about you. God thinks about you. Amen? So, it's a book of human encouragement. What God can do. God bless you. I love you too. Amen.